7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome to the Color of Magic Podcast with your hosts, Daquan Watson and Brian Allen. All right, dude, we're finally making this thing happen. Yeah, it's one of those things, like, and here's you know, I want to say, like, just thanks to everybody for kind of, like, motivating me to make this happen, because this is something we were going to do, like, a year from now, and what happened is we're having this crazy conversation on Twitter, and then before I know it, like, my phone's blowing up with a bunch of people, like, following me and giving input, and I'm like, oh, crap, this is a thing. So then I'm like, all right, I got to find a co-host. And then I'm like, oh, who do I know that actually has some skill in, like, talking to people publicly, can take some backlash we're going to deal with? And I'm like, what? Exactly. I know a guy who used to be a comedian. So, like, yeah, obviously.
Had a reporter before that.
Yeah, that's true. Like, how do you think, like, that's going to be similar here, actually, with, like, being a reporter to now doing something like this on a podcast?
I'm used to people hating me. So, as you said, that's why you called me. Because I've had people call me and blame me for them losing an election. You know, they really, what? It's that critical for them.
That's too good. It's too good.
And we would tell them, it's a community newspaper. With all due respect, 1,000 people read this. And, well, no, excuse me, 1,000 people bought this. 1,000 people bought this paper. Half of them bought it just for the coupons, if we're honest. Half of them only read the sport. I'm so bad at math. Let's say 20% of them only bought it because their kid made the basketball team.
Oh, okay, I got you.
It's going to break down to maybe 100 people read your article, sir, and they've already made up their minds. Yeah, let's be honest about politics. Who has a political epiphany in the middle of an election? Nobody in America.
That's also true. Yeah, so here, let me give people some background here. Like, this is a little crazy. Like, I actually got to work on the first Magic podcast, right? Which was a thing that we didn't even think was going to be a big deal. I had a friend, Eric Ellison, who hopefully he's listening. I haven't talked to him in a couple of years, but he lived in Austin. I lived in Waco, Texas. And he just has this idea one day, like, hey, I listen to these other tech things and they do this thing called a podcast. So I'm like, all right, sounds cool. Let's just do it. So very often on Monday nights, we record. I have, like, Monday Night Raw in the background on mute. I'm like,
that's recording. The best way to watch it. Oh, wait. Oh.
Yeah. Man, that's rough. But yeah, so, you know, we did this for several. I think we ended up with like 60 episodes or something. Sadly, a lot of them have been lost to the void. I did manage to find one the other day that I saved. So we may have that on a later episode for people just to hear. But the sound quality was terrible. You know, we recorded it on Skype. Like, the technology that exists now is way better.
Yeah.
But with that, I noticed, like, a lot of the things that existed then, as far as, like, issues in the community, quality of podcasts, things like that, like, are still kind of the same today, which is weird. So I'm like, why not? Let's do something updated 15 years later and let's just make it happen. So, yeah, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants and going for a little ride here.
And I think both of us were shocked that nobody was doing anything like this. And we started looking around, you know, think, okay, somebody has to have done a podcast about, you know, people of color and minorities and magic. And no, from what we saw, really nobody was doing the thing we're planning to do here. So
And that's what was kind of surprising to me, is that I even had people link me to some different things. And the only thing I found was there was two guys, and I feel bad because I don't remember their name because this was months ago when I saw it, but, like, there were two black guys that do magic reviews, it looked like, on some different sets and stuff, and they have a YouTube channel, and that's it. Like, there's nothing else really in that space, which I was like, okay, then this is obviously a thing. And then seeing the response from people on Twitter and Facebook, it was just like, okay, this is obviously a thing people want or need. And even crazier, it wasn't even all people of color that were chiming in. I mean, I had people from across the rainbow just like, oh man, where's your Patreon? And, like, where can I sign up? And when do you guys record? Or what's your link? And I'm like, man, this isn't even a thing yet.
And it doesn't exist yet. it's not even a thing yet, but they're willing to give you money for it.
So, yeah. So we're just trying, you know, we're going to give it a go. I mean, the thing is, though, like, we know, and you and I talked about this off the air, that no matter what we say here, somebody's going to be bothered, right? Like, we're going to touch on some subjects, or we're going to bring up some things that, you know, like you jokingly said, like, why are you getting politics in my magic? You know, like, that's going to be a thing. And I agree with you. I think some people are going to be bothered by it. I also think, though, that, like, we're going to raise some awareness for a few people. You know, I think there's a lot of times where if you don't have people of certain ethnicities or makeup in your community, you're just not going to have that exposure.
Exactly. You don't know what you don't know, you know, until you meet other people and bring other experiences. Like you told me the other day, just talking about how many, you know, how many women, you know, that Wizard says interact with the product in some way. I think you said it was about 30%.
Yeah,
roughly.
We can do a whole episode on that. Like we'll make that episode 4 or 5, just like ways to increase engagement with women or female identifying customers. So like that's so, man, I have seen some things, you know, so
I can imagine.
I guess also for people, you know, we'll probably cover this in our first episode as this is just like a pilot. But for those of you who don't know, like, I've been involved on the business side of the game industry for almost 20 years now, actually, you know, running a business. I've worked on game design. I've ran conventions. I've done community stuff. I've worked for Wizards of the Coast. You know, like, so I've kind of been all over the place. Yeah. And man, it gives you just,
he's been everywhere.
Yeah. And it gives you just a different perspective, you know, and I appreciate some of the stuff you've done as well. You know, having this whole thing, seeing like how the media reacts to stuff, I think is huge, which I've never had that opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, people, it's crazy how many people assume that the media has, okay, now we're in the era of, you know, Fox and MSNBC. Yeah, they got a viewpoint, obviously. Having worked in newsrooms, you'd be amazed at how many people, I'm talking about reporters, don't know who their councilman is, you know, because that's not what they're into. They're the sports reporter, or they're, you know, the reporter that says who came to the parties. You just, it's a whole different thing, which we'll get into, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, like I have a feeling we're gonna touch on a lot of topics. Hopefully we do this for a while, so I'll say over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just so many things. Actually, here's a fun thing for some of you that do already follow me on Facebook. Like, just ironically, on the day we decide to record our pilot episode, Facebook sends you those memory reminders or whatever they call them. Like, and yeah, it's actually from a time 8 years ago. And this is still when I was running a game store. A guy walks in and I don't know, he says just a couple of words to me, asks me a couple of questions or whatever about products. And he literally looks at me and goes, "You know what, dude? You're not really all that black." And I'm just like, "What?" What?
Like, by which measuring stick?
So now me having a moment, I was like, "So do you have good credit?" Like, you know, I started asking just like typical questions, and we, you know, after 3 or 4 questions, I was just like, "All right, so yeah, you're not very white." Like, and the dude just looked at me.
And you guys have just met each other. I love
Yeah,
this.
He just looks at me for a second. He's like, "Man, I'm sorry." Like, you know, I wasn't trying to like start a thing. It's like, dude, you know how dumb that statement is? Like, it's the idea that, you know, you're trying to assume that all these things are typical of a person or a group, and you hadn't even known me for like 2 minutes, right? That's so silly.
Black people don't know about the magic cards.
Yeah, dude, you would be surprised. Like, and as the series goes on, I'm going to get into all kinds of stuff because, like, I can tell you, when I went to the Gamma Trade Show for the first time, like, I was the black guy for the most part. Like, they just, black people, for whatever reason, well, there's several reasons, I'm sure, but there just weren't a lot of us in the gaming community, at least not in the hobby gaming community. So you hadn't had time to, for lack of a better word, ascend up the ranks to be a business owner, CEO, whatever, and be at these conventions or whatever. So that was even a learning experience of just understanding that, because I hadn't really thought much about it, you know, up until that point. So, yeah, that's something else we can cover. Like, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no kidding. You know, you have been a hero to me and many of the gaming community, because I can count the number of black people that owned a gaming store on one hand and still have room, you know, for my favorite probably basketball lineup. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah. I mean, there was a guy, there was a story, I believe this was 2 years ago, that he was opening a store, I want to say somewhere in the Midwest, and the dude was getting like hate mail, you know, the just being a black guy opening a game store or whatever, which I'm like, really?
Mind blowing.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. It's like people assume, which rightfully so, most of the gaming community are great people. I will tell you, I have met amazing people. I have had people I only met online that invited me to come stay at their house for events, like have taken me out to dinner. Even people in the industry, business-wise, they've been great. But not everybody is. We're still a segment of society. Yeah. You know, so things that are true in normal society are still true for the gaming community. So it's kind of amazing when people just assume like, oh, no, like everything's fine. Like this doesn't happen in game stores or at Magic tournaments or whatever. It's like, no, but it does.
Can I tell you, everybody that I said the majority of my friends that I've met in Dallas, I'm originally from Shreveport, but the majority of my friends are people I met through the gaming community, including you.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the only reason we know each other is because I played, you know, a bunch of off-brand card games, which we'll get into.
Exactly. But that's the thing, right? If it wasn't for gaming, we also wouldn't have made all these connections, right? We wouldn't have had friends that we've had for 10 years or whatever, you know, in the middle of all this. And I think that's not to go like untold either as a story of like, there's a bunch of positives here. So like, this isn't a show about us just harping on things. Like we want to share the good and certainly the bad.
I believe, you know, gaming and out of gaming, I think 99% of the people you deal with are great people. And even the guys you're talking about, I don't think he realized how offensive he was until you turned it back on him. I don't think he came in there to offend you. He just, you know, thought it was
Of course not. And don't get me wrong. Like, I have had friends over the, even if you go back, because I think I shared that thread, so people can go back and read it, but like, there are people making jokes about it where I'm like, yeah, but these are also people I've known even at that point for like 12 years or something, right? Like, there are things you will say to your friends or relatives or whatever that you will not say to other people because you don't have that relationship. Like, it's not there, you know?
You can beat up your brother. Anybody else beats up your brother. Okay,
yeah, we got exactly. It's a lot like that. Yeah. Like, no, I could call him that. You can't, you know?
Yeah.
So it's something like that. The other thing too, I want to use this show for is to, I don't know. I don't want to say like give a voice to the voiceless. Cause that sounds way grander than what the kind of the mission statement is.
And CM Punk may have trademarked it.
Well, yeah, that's true.
He's probably going to pay him $5.
He might have. He might come through with another angry pipe bomb promo. But no, what I want to do is also take the time to showcase people of color in the Magic community. You know, we have several, and I won't put any names up, but like I've already talked to a few people, and they are excited to be part of the show, which also said a lot to me that I'm reaching out to a couple of people that I don't know all that well. I'm just like taking a shot in the dark and going like, hey, I know you know this person. Can you put me in touch? Or reaching out to them on social media or whatever and being like, hey, I have this project. It might come off a little bit edgy or whatever to you. I don't know if you want to participate, but here's what I'm thinking. And each person just been all in instantly. There's been no resistance. They've been like, oh, yeah, sweet. When are you recording? Or, hey, as long as you can give me time and set me a date or whatever. So that part's been cool, too, because that also speaks to the fact of everybody feels like this should be a thing. And, you know, it's a good feeling that you actually kind of hit on a thing that is going to have some level of importance. But at the same time, it's a little bit surprising, you know?
Again, we were completely flabbergasted that nobody was doing anything like this.
Yeah, and one of the things that was interesting, and this happened, this was maybe last week on Twitter, with Sheldon Mennery, the Magic Judge Emeritus, actually, I believe is still his title. And he's, you know, big in the Commander community, whatever. Somebody had actually shared it with him, one of my posts. And he came back with us like, oh, well, I've known Daquan forever. Of course, this is something I've been waiting to happen. And I'm like, wait, what? You know, like,
wow.
Yeah. And
no pressure, no pressure at exactly. all. Just, you know,
and because he shared
Magic it, legend saying this should happen and they can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. And because he shared it, everybody else obviously saw it. So then exactly. I get a couple more followers on Twitter or whatever. So this has been a crazy adventure for the last few weeks to get this up and running. I had a few nights where I slept like 4 hours a night, getting home after work, eating, spending an hour or two with my wife, and then like getting on here and just setting up websites and setting up the social media stuff and figuring out how we're going to record. educating you on what microphones to get.
All that and figuring out how they work and all those things and what to process.
Yeah. So like, I'm just glad everybody is in, you know, so kind of the things I want everybody to know is like every episode, we want to spend some time kind of just socializing and saying like, hey, kind of what's the issue of the day or kind of what's going on around the internet on social media for magic or whatever. And does that have an impact on anybody or just give a different perspective to those stories? The other is highlighting people of color in the community, right? Getting them a chance to tell their story or how they got to be to whatever level they are, or how do you get some of these jobs, or what is the climate like at certain businesses or whatever that you work with, or how do you get the exposure to do whatever with the struggles you have, right? All of those I think are important stories that would help people out, even if
absolutely,
even if it's not a direct thing. I think sometimes just hearing what somebody else has gone through or seeing somebody you can relate to in a situation does a lot to help you in your day-to-day situation. But we still want to talk about magic. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, we're gonna have fun too. I am as excited about the new cards as anybody. I got Arena open over here. I haven't even busted my Arena packs yet.
Oh, I know.
For Eldraine. I'm hyped.
And our timing is perfect because today the new update goes live. So people are going to be playing tons of Arena with the new cards. I have like 5 decks I want to build already.
I love this thing they're doing where they're going to let you play with all the cards in standard for the first weekend.
Yeah, that's exciting, dude. Like, I mean, we don't want that stuff to go unnoticed. We want people to talk about that stuff. Like, it's the whole reason we're here. Like, we still enjoy playing games. We still love Magic.
We love this game.
Yeah, we just happen to have more melanin in our skin, but we enjoy playing the Magic cards, right? So, yeah, we're definitely going to cover that. We're going to have tons of fun stuff with Magic. We have a lot of different people I've gotten to meet through the years that are involved in the Magic community, some actually at Wizards. So hopefully we'll get some of them on the show and we'll have some fun moments there. But then we also want to take a time toward the end of each episode to kind of throw out what we're calling our dinner table talk. Because, you know, any of y'all that ever been to a Black person's house, if y'all throw a barbecue or a dinner, whatever, there's a bunch of talking going on over food. Like, that's like the place you do the talking.
And if you've never been to a Black person's house, we're going to make a note of that. That's, you know, on your to-do list for the remainder of 2019.
Oh, for real. Like, I saw a YouTube video it was a Facebook thing that a guy had shared a couple months back, probably about 5 or 6 months ago. And he was giving his like rundown of going to a Black barbecue for the first time. Oh man, it was a trip.
I got his name.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But that's kind of the thing, right? We've gotten away, and this is a little bit of like, you know, a little preachy, but I think societally we've gotten away from having those serious conversations, right? We talk about don't talk about politics at the table. We don't talk about religion. We don't talk about, I don't know, sex or whatever. And I think sometimes you just got to have those more candid conversations. And so we're going to kind of invite everybody to our dinner table every week and, you know, take 5 or 10 minutes and just say like, hey, here's a thing that we think could help make the gaming community or particularly the Magic community better. And, you know, just throw it out there and see what happens. It'd be a good starter for conversation.
This isn't a one-way thing. We want y'all to, you know, respond to us and tell us like, hey, you know, we think it's a good idea or we think you've lost your mind. We want to know what you have to say.
Yeah, and it's very likely we have lost our mind on a couple of things. Like,
I've been accused of that more than once in my own house.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say
this week
we're the only experts on any of this stuff. Like, we know that is not true. We are not trying to bill ourselves as such. Or in the words, I guess, like Dave Chappelle from The Spiller, we are not trying to speak for the Black congregation.
Exactly.
We
can give you our personal experience, you know, and the experiences that people have shared with us.
That's exactly it, right? We can only speak from our personal perspective, but we're at least going to give that and share it. And I think it's cool that because we have kind of gotten to see different aspects of both society and the gaming community from the way our lives have kind of diverged, I hope that kind of dichotomy there actually adds something to the discussions for everybody. So now that that's out of the way, let's talk about some Eldraine cards, man. Like, we got a little heavy there for a second. Like, let's have some fun because this set is bananas, right? Like, and I will tell you, I was at Wizards back when this idea started kind of coming together, where people were talking about like, what if? And this is sort of a thing, and I think Mark Rosewater shared this actually, that it's an idea he's had for like a decade, and they couldn't ever really find a way to make it work and couldn't fit it in. And then at some point, I think it became an Arthurian legend sort of set of just like, hey, let's do knights, let's do you know, the sword and the stone and blah blah, and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And I guess it didn't have quite enough meat on it. And that's kind of where Rosewater jumped in. It's like, well, remember those fairy tales?
I guess knights and fairy tales, there's always, you know, some kind of knight running around saving princesses or what. So they go together.
Oh, sure. And I think it worked out beautifully. You know, I will say this is fun to me in the sense of we had gotten very serious with Magic for a little while. Like, yeah. We had told these stories about these, well, what became like 35 characters or whatever, but the core five or six. Yeah. And we had followed them on their journey for, in real time, like 8 years or whatever of building this story. And we get to the end, and, you know, we even had that awesome trailer where, like, people are dying and Liliana's turning people into zombies and, you know. Yeah. Like,
they are killing the trailers, like, by the way. Whoever is in charge of that, you have all... I can't give you enough props. My kid, who has no interest in Magic, you know, I'm working on it, but as of right now, has no interest in Magic, saw that trailer, was like, that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, so the whole thing's been bananas. Like, so that was awesome, but I think we reached a point now where it's like, okay, that was all really serious. Like, can we take a moment just to step back and have fun? So here, I think they hit almost all the major tropes, right? You have, like, Robin Hoods in here. You've got
knights, you got murderous gingerbread people.
Like, not just that, right? But like the flavor of the cards, of how they're built, is awesome. Like, you have a gingerbread guy that you can't block unless you have haste, which is amazing. Like,
exactly.
Like, it's
so, you can't catch the gingerbread man. I love
it. Exactly. It's so little, but like, that's the type of thing that makes this work for me.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be some people that are, I don't know, if you want to call them Magic traditionalists, that are probably going to look at the set and just be like, this is dumb. I'm like, why is there Goldilocks in here? What's this Beauty and the Beast stuff or whatever? But on the other hand, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are just gamers that just enjoy fun stuff. And these are people, because what I think people forget too is like, especially as Arena's gained in popularity, you're getting people from all over the game industry that are giving Magic a look. So kind of give them something to just sink their teeth into that's fun and relatable or whatever, and then kind of let's slowly feed them into stuff. Because we're going to go from this straight into Theros, where we're going to be talking about the gods and the underworld and very likely Elspeth dealing with her trials and tribulations. And just, you know, it's going to be a totally different tone.
More murder. Yeah. We'll be back to lots.
Exactly.
Jace will be in the corner crying and brooding.
Yeah, so like let's enjoy the fun while it's here. So let's take a few minutes. Let's take about 4 or 5 minutes here, and let's just like pick out a few cards that we really like and kind of highlight why we like them. Because like, okay, so first off, I will go first because I am a big fan of the Great Hinge. I think that card is ridiculous. The fact that it even taps for 2 mana on top of doing all the other stuff, I think is bonkers. I don't know why it even taps for mana, but it does. And not only that, you tap for mana and you gain life. Like, and here's the thing, too. I want people to know about this card. Is that the gain life, because it's on that type line, this is actually a mana ability that can't be responded to.
Oh, wow.
So if you're one of those weird situations where it's like, oh, well, I'm going to do this and gain 2... And then your opponent's like, oh, but I'm going to do this thing and shock you for 2 or sack this thing to hit you for 1 to kill you.
No, sir.
It's like, nope, I'm still at 1 life. Like, because I gained my 2 no matter what. You know, so, yeah, something to know. That's all I'm saying. Just throwing it out there. But not just that.
That's good.
I think for green decks, especially commander decks, it's a way to draw extra cards. Are your creatures coming to play larger? If you have anything that cares about +1/+1 counters, you're going to get those. Like, the card's doing a ton, and it's very easy to play this card for 4 mana or less. It takes almost no effort. So you're going to be seeing this card on like turn three or four, I'd imagine quite a lot if people are playing multiple copies. So yeah, that's my top card, the builder. I'm probably gonna, I like playing green already, so I'm probably gonna be including that in like 50% of the decks I play with green or more. So what are you looking at, man, in this set to build around?
First one is Happily Ever After. I know it's janky. I love win conditions. I'm not saying this is going to be top tier. Like, we're talking about, this is going to be fun.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not going to hate on you for it.
If I make it work, you know, one out of five times, I'll have enjoyed my Friday Night Magic or my arena or whatever I'm playing experience.
Okay, I don't hate that. Like,
you put in a win condition, I'm going to try to make it work. And I'm going to have fun attempting to make it work, with no matter how many terrible cards otherwise I have to put in my deck to make it work.
All right, well then, the only thing I will challenge you with is, if you actually get close to making it work, you're required to post it on our website for people to have access to the list.
Oh, I absolutely will do that. I'm going to tell everybody I know, including my wife, who won't care. Everybody will hear about it if I can figure out how to
make
it work.
That's fair. Hey, speaking of, for those of you that don't know, we do have a website up already. It is colorofmtg.com. So you'll be able to get all of our podcasts there. You'll actually see Brian's crazy deck list when he puts them up. So if you want something fun on the casual level, you have access to that. And we're going to actually just put random updates. You know, when we're out at tournaments or cool things are happening, or I don't know, maybe if Wizard gives us preview cards, they will end up there. Just saying. So there will be things.
Subtle, very subtle. Very
so subtle. Another card I want to point out is the Lochmere Serpent. One, the card's actually kind of pretty good. It's a 7/7 with flash for 6 mana. So it's a 4 blue-black, which is pretty sweet. It has three different abilities that are all pretty useful. You know, you can sacrifice an island and can't be blocked. You can sacrifice a swamp and you gain life and draw a card. Or you can exile cards from an opponent's graveyard to return that from a graveyard to your hand. But the fun part about this card is, obviously, it's a Loch Ness monster of sorts, which is pretty sweet. Because, you know, it's another thing that, you know, is a tall tale that people believe they've seen. Though, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, we don't have a Sasquatch in the set, which is weird. But the thing here, while we're talking about the serpent,
Sasquatch is real. That's why he's not in the set.
That's true. If you live up here in the Pacific Northwest, there's so much Sasquatch stuff. But nobody's ever seen one. But what's cool about this card, it has three abilities, right? Okay. Three activated abilities. But there are 50 words in the card text.
Good God.
So it's a Loch Ness monster that has tree fitty.
I didn't realize that. That is greatness.
Isn't that awesome?
That is.
Like, now, I have to give credit to R&D and Eli over there, because somebody had to work out a certain set of abilities that used exactly 50 words.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Magic's a very particular language that it uses. So you had to figure out a way to get 50 words on here. And then, to top it off, over at Star City, they had priced it at $350, which is just like adding more to the joke, which I love it. I love it. But this is the thing, though, right?
Exactly.
This is the fun stuff we can do and talk about because of this set. Like, we couldn't do that previously.
I would say my next one is going to be Knight's Charge. Because, again, I'm building Knights. That's one of my first decks anyway, when I think it was Knight Exemplar came out that made all your knights indestructible. So I'm in for the Arthurian theme. I was already sold when they told me they were going to have Arthurian people in here.
I don't think I've seen Knight's Charge.
How does that card read? Spoiler now that I thought I had. Yeah, that's the one where it's three mana, one white, one black, and basically. I believe you get one life every time you attack.
So much crazy stuff in it. I'm like scrolling down and going like,
and then you can blow it up to bring back all your dead knights. Exactly, because if your whole white weenie thing is failed,
that's a good long game card for knights too.
Now it gives you a long game option of, hey, you got to kill all these knights again.
I think that's the other thing about this set too, because I'm very much like an aggro to mid range player, and you know, the food tokens and everything else where people can gain life, I think is going to draw some games out. Which on one hand, I'm kind of like, that's kind of unfortunate. You're going to have some long games. But the other thing is, it means you're also going to get to see more of these crazy cards do the things they do. So it could go either way.
Then, sacrifice Knight's Charge, return all knight creature cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. So, we said long game.
Here's another one, too. There's this creepy-looking card, Grumgully the Generous. He's a colorless red-green. He's a 3-3. So on raid, he's actually a fine card. But then he has a static ability that each other non-human creature you control enters the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on it.
That's going to add up real fast.
Yeah. Well, not just that. Imagine having that and the Great Hinge out, right? Yeah. So then, like, all your stuff is getting 2+1/+1 counters, and you're getting a card, and you have the ability to gain life every turn. Like, some of these decks are going to be going just bonkers off the wall, just doing all kinds of wild stuff. So I'm looking forward to it because the first couple of weeks, I don't know what any deck's going to look like. I've seen people put up 50 deck lists already on Twitter with like all kinds of different ideas. So this is going to be fun just to watch this format unfold.
Absolutely.
I mean, even looking through the cards, there's like, there's basically Cinderella's carriage that makes two mice and has like the pumpkin carriage or whatever. Like we talked about, there's gingerbread people. You've got, there's a card, Dance of the Mance, I think, or a Mance. I don't know how you say that, but it's basically like the living furniture from Beauty and the Beast. Like, so there's like all this stuff just like hidden through the set. Like, you're going to have fun just looking at it and like going through and going, oh, I get it. I see where this comes from, or this is this story, or this is this thing from like this legend or whatever. So it's pretty cool that all this is just here, because this is sort of like the things that existed in the beginning of Magic, right? When we told stories like Arabian Nights and things like that, or even Legends sort of hinted at a couple of things. So it's kind of let them get off the beaten path a little bit and do something. And
like you said earlier, perfect time for this, you know, to have a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
We just had the, you know, the heavy stuff with Bolas trying to destroy the entire multiverse, kind of like the end game of, you know, Magic, if you will.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I mean, and this is kind of like a palate cleanser as we move into, I guess, the new phase of Magic, whatever that's going to look like. Which also, by the way, Garrick's back, which is pretty sweet, and the curse is broken. So hopefully we'll see more Garrick in the future. I'm excited
all
about
the
that.
Green
that
was players one are of ready my... for some more Garrick, and I, you know, when I'm not doing White Weenie, green is my other default color, so I'm excited.
So, yeah, so that was pretty cool to see, too. And, yeah, if you haven't seen the trailer, go view it. So you're doing yourself a disservice. It is super, super. It starts out where you're kind of like, oh, this is sort of silly, you know, whatever. Then by the end, you're like, oh, yeah, this is great. Like, they made it
escalated,
you know,
really quickly. It got out of hand.
Yeah. Like, and that's how I know it's good, because I kind of went from, like, indifferent to like 3 minutes later, I'm kind of invested in these things, man. Like, I want to see what happens.
Take my money, Wizards. So, yeah. Take it.
Yeah, exactly. I hope everything stays at that level. I don't know how they're going to top themselves, but yeah.
Again, so, shout out to those who's doing those trailers. They are incredible. They are going to bring new people in.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, so we normally want to keep our episodes probably in about the 1 hour mark. However, today we're just doing a pilot, so we're going to keep this at probably about 30
minutes.
Making
sure everything works, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just
running up the flagpole.
Making sure we're not absolutely awful. You know, we don't want to run a crap show here. We want to actually, like, have something people can enjoy and it's not making your ears bleed. But let's kind of get to our dinner table talk here for a little bit. And
my barbecue chicken right here.
Yep, exactly.
I'm not even joking about sweet tea. I really do have sweet tea.
I have tea. It's not sweet tea. We don't have too much sweet tea up here in the Northwest, so I got to make my own if I want some sweet tea.
That's
But yeah, so kind of where we started off talking about on the episode, you know, just want to say, like, be aware of your thoughts when you're kind of stereotyping people. I think it's one of those things that we can all do sort of subconsciously, because we all have biases, like, for various reasons. Like, stuff happens in life. Whatever, like, you see a shirt somebody has on or whatever and it rubs you the wrong way, you know. But, like, just take a second to engage somebody as your equal. It's kind of the best way to start every conversation, especially in the gaming community, because the average person showing up to your store is probably just looking for somebody to play Commander with or trade cards. Like, there's really no ulterior motive happening there. And I think that goes kind of unspoken a lot of the time. You know, it's everybody's just looking for somebody to hang out with. Some of them, for Magic, is their escapism, you know, from work or from the hassles of home or whatever. You know, and I'm sure you've, like me, I'm sure you've dealt with your own stereotypical issues when you've gone into a new place or to an event.
Yeah, I, you know, as you mentioned, the whole, you know, you're not very black. It's weird, you know, how you get that.
Yeah, and you know, and I know you listen to country music, and that's a thing that's weird for people.
And it brings me to one of my, this is after, this went at a tournament, this is afterwards, we're kind of at a party, and one of my friends, you know, is a really good guitarist, brings out his guitar, starts playing. And this is somebody trying to be too inclusive, I guess you would say, where they say, hey, wait, you know, can you play any other kind of music? Like, can you play any rap? And we both stop and look at her like, on his acoustic guitar, can he play some rap music? I feel like no, probably not.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe Everlast, you know, I mean, maybe. Now, for the most part, no.
You can get some Bubba Sparks.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, is that
didn't realize it. Again, I'm, you know, a huge country music fan. If I'm going to pick, it's probably going to be, you know, Johnny Cash or Blake Shelton or somebody.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, when... You know, coming back to that example where the guy walks into the store and he's like, yeah, dude, you're not very black or whatever. It's just like, yeah. Based on what?
What are the criteria?
You know, like, because I'm running a game store at that point in time, you know, that, you know, I nerd know all the nerd material that's sitting on my walls, or I don't know. I wear pants with a belt. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't, like,
where are you going? Like, and it all seems uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that's exactly it, right? You're creating an uncomfortable situation where there just doesn't need to be one, right? Like, and more often than not, if you just start having a normal conversation with the person and like check your thoughts on the way out of your head for a second, you probably end up having a pretty good friendship or relationship with that person. Exactly. And I think that's the thing. Don't cost yourself positive and interactions. Maybe you, that's what
let
we're
me see
at.
If this is your experience too, DeQuad. I've had as many black people, if not more, tell me I'm not black than I have white people, honestly.
Sure. No, that's a thing, right? Like, and I want to make sure that's clear too. Like, there are times where, and it's not just black, but I mean, I've heard stuff from Asian people, from Mexicans, from whatever, like that I've had friendships with over the years that you catch hell from your own race too. Like, this isn't all outsiders. I mean, you know, you have your own people that are looking at you and be like, dude, what's that all about? Like, and I, even especially with like magic and gaming and stuff, those were things that were almost frowned upon. In I guess we want to call it ethnic circles, you know? So that's a thing we'll touch on in episode one. We'll save some. That's a teaser, I guess, for people.
Next time.
But yeah, that's it. But that's all. Just, you know, just watch your thoughts. No need to stereotype people. Give them a chance to do something that you can be mad at, but not just for appearing. You know, that's not good enough. But yeah, so that's all we've got for now for our first pilot episode. Hopefully this is going to be some engaging conversation. Hopefully we're not boring to listen to.
Thanks to everybody who has, you know, encouraged us and asked us to do this. We are, you know, just really humbled by the response we've had already.
Yeah, very much so. Like, this is a crazy ride to be on. I think it's exciting. I think it feels like we're doing a little something, which is cool. So yeah, just do us a favor if you can, share this, let friends know that this is a thing that's happening, and to check us out every week. We're going to try to get it up every Friday if possible. I know we have a lot of things in the Magic community that go live on Fridays, but it may just be what's convenient for us for the time being.
Exactly.
We'll check and see if there's other days at work. But yeah, we appreciate everybody listening. We are truly humbled, and hopefully we will see you next week and the week after and the week after. So yeah, that's
everybody
it.
Enjoy your Throne of Eldraine weekend. Hope you get some good pulls.
Yeah, share us with us on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever. Let us know how your weekend's gone for you. If the set really lived up to your expectations, so we can talk about it next week. But for now, that's it. We're out. Deuces.
Later.
We'd like to thank you all for listening, and if you could, throw some support our way over at patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook at Color of Magic and on Twitter. So please, share it, let people know how cool we are, or even get on and tell us how bad we are so we can be better. And again, thanks for your support.